Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a booze dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Episode 6, What We Watch When We Drink, right?
That
and
is correct.
Tonight, we are doing one of our mashups, and we're kind of putting this around Israel.
I like to call it the Israel connection.
Oh, that's good. Could be a movie.
It could be.
Could be a sitcom.
You know, it's probably in development right now. So I want to claim. I want to lay claim to it now.
It could be on storyboards somewhere in Hollywood or Tel Aviv.
So yes, I went with that because of two things. Well, wait. Before we do that, this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and Audible, and boozedancing.com. And we would love to hear from you. So if you have questions or comments, by all means, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com.
So we're doing a little combo thing tonight with Milk and Honey Distillery in Tel Aviv, which is in Israel.
Correct.
And because it's so topical, Wonder Woman 1984, because
Gal Gadot
is the star.
She is
Wonder Woman. And guess where she's from?
Just a little town outside of Tel Aviv, I believe.
Well, I don't know what town she's from, but she's from Israel.
Yep.
Boom. Yep, see the connection?
There you go. I do.
That was very good, G-Lo. You did that.
Hey, you know.
That's why we give you all the creative license that you have.
We're always looking for a good excuse to drink. And Gal Gadot is a fine excuse to drink.
She is. Before we start doing anything crazy with what we watched, we should try something.
Well, we need to toast a new year.
We should.
And you can't do that with an empty glass because that's bad luck. Am I right?
No, no. Very good luck.
We are going to start with the Milk and Honey Classic.
Tell me a little bit about this whiskey, my dear man.
Well, first, we got to thank the good folks at Impex Beverages for sending these samples, correct?
Yes, sir. Sam Filmus and Company.
And do we have a clink? Anybody got a clink?
I got a clink. Oh, ready? Ready? Happy New Year, boys.
So this is from their classic line, right? And this specific one is ex-bourbon and red wine STR casks.
Shaved,
toasted, and recharred.
So they break the barrel down into its slats, retreat all the slats, and build the barrel again, right?
I believe that's how they do it. Yep. Shave off a little bit and then toast it, which is sort of like what happens in my house.
They shave you down a little bit, toast you, and recharge. I'm surprised any of you left. Refresh my memory. Milk and Honey is a Jim Swan.
It's one of the Jim Swan consulted distilleries, and he was this icon in the industry, helping distilleries open, and most of them were in hot climates. So he's helped hot climate distilleries set up shop and figure out how to deal with their potential climate issues. Yeah. Cavalon in Taiwan. These guys also helped Pendaren in Wales, but that's a cold climate.
That's a different climate, right?
Yeah, and didn't he help Paul John too?
I'm not sure. He might have. That sounds familiar.
I think he helped Paul John too in India, which is another warm climate too. So he's passed away a couple years ago, but his mark is left in a lot of places.
Yeah, all over the globe.
Yep. Hey, our good buddy Sam is paying
attention. Oh, Mr. Spears is here.
So he wants to know if this is a Marx Brothers production.
We can't afford the Marx Brothers.
Zeppo said no.
We can afford Gummo, but we can't afford the other guys. Marx.
Is he like the Curly Joe of the Marx Brothers?
He was the fifth one. Got out of the business early.
He's Stephen Baldwin.
He's the Baldwin nobody respects.
So what do we think about this whiskey, boys?
It smells really good.
I'm on the nose here, but I like the nose.
Sounds really good. So what was the – what they use for casks? Ex-bourbon and red wine STR casks? So it's an ex-bourbon barrel, and then they do the shave, toasted, and recharred on the red wine?
Yeah. Right. And I believe the wine casks are from an Israeli winery.
Smells really, really good.
Yeah, I like actually, that. Tastes fantastic.
Tends to rapid age over there, though, doesn't it?
Yep,
because correct. Of the climate also. So yep. 2 years there is 4 years somewhere else. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not that that's exact, but that's kind of how it works. So
yeah.
A younger whiskey for them is an older whiskey here.
Right.
It's like marriage. It ages you faster.
Oh. It does. There's a, it's called the marriage factor.
Yeah, I'm really only 4. I'm only 42. I just look 53.
I just tell people I'm 70. Sometimes they say I look good.
Yeah.
Only sometimes. This is really good. And I think 46% is about the right percentage because it has enough of a kick to it.
It does have a nice. Fair little yeah. kick to it.
It's nice.
And the wine, as I've said, I'm not a big wine cask finish person as a rule. This has that nice balance.
Yeah. You get that vanilla from like the bourbon cask.
You're getting the bourbon cask influence, I think, more than the wine cask, but you get a little bit of the wine cask.
Yeah, which, a little bit of fruit, a little bit of fruit without being too much.
It's almost like you get like a cherry vanilla Coke. You get that little bit of cherry on the back end.
Yeah. Cherry. Yeah.
Well, you know me, I like to pump a little bit more, so I have a lot more cherry. You know, I actually on a further taste of it, I get more wine,
but it's not too much. You know, it isn't like it's too much.
I just get more. Hasn't annoyed me yet, so that's
it's good. Fair. It's very good, and what impresses me with a lot of the like I think I've said it many times before in other reviews, with the newer distilleries, the spirit seems to be like cleaner.
Yeah,
you know, like it just has a same thing like with Penderyn, Kilhoman. They're all relatively new distilleries. Maybe it's the equipment, the way they're doing it, the process is different.
So I think you have to kind of almost separate the really smart guys from the not so smart guys. And a lot of the little craft places that we know, names you don't know until you see them on the shelf in some liquor store. I think the these guys, they do it right. They're more professional. And so they've kind of figured out the technical side of things better. So you don't get that crafty sort of, quote unquote. It doesn't have that you know, like everything comes from Indiana kind of thing.
Right. It's really good.
Well, boys, did you watch a little TV over the last few weeks?
I watched Wonder Woman.
Really? Which one?
Hey, really, Mike, you got to tell the story. It's even better. You didn't just watch
Wonder Woman. I watched Wonder Woman in an actual movie theater.
A movie theater?
Yeah. It's these old-timey buildings.
Tell me about them.
They used to show movies in front of large crowds. And now they just let you rent the space for up to 20 people.
So everyone comes in and they watch the movie on their phones? I don't get it.
How many people?
Up to 20.
How many went?
What we just went with the family, just the 9 of us.
Wow. Just was there popcorn involved?
You could get concessions, which was very nice. No Mr. Pibb, though, at my theater, which was the only reason I like to go to the Cinemark, because they have Mr. Pibb. Not that big, pretentious Dr. Pepper. But just a plain old Mr. Pibb. And even with my mother-in-law sitting socially distanced far enough away from me, saying, I don't know what's going on here. What is going on here? Does anyone understand this?
Hey, does that count as a bad accent?
I still enjoyed the movie. It was still good.
He sounded just like her. I cannot remember the last time I was in a movie theater.
I think the last thing I saw in a movie theater was Ford versus Ferrari.
It was at least two pandemics ago for me.
That must have been great in the movie theater with the surround sound.
That was fantastic in a movie theater.
Vroom, vroom.
It was really good. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Wonder Woman 1984.
Did you see it?
I watched it last night.
I watched it last, when it came out, like a day after. It's been out a week, right?
Yeah, it came out on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. So I saw it, and it took me 2 days to watch it.
Really? Why, just bad timing? Or?
Well, I think one of the parts of it, it's a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah, it's a long movie.
It's a long movie. Well, it's not the 6-day war. It's the 2.5-hour war.
I watched it last night, and I lowered my expectations a little bit just based upon our conversations prior to yesterday. And it was okay. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't as good as the first one. You know, it was odd. But did you notice? Maybe it was just me. But you know, like when they switched from where was she from? What was that island?
The Mascara.
The mascara. So from when she was there to then the beginning when they started 1980 and she's just kind of like randomly saving people, you know, the tone kind of shifted. Like I thought it was going to be just like they were going to embrace the whole 80s thing with the cheese factor. You got the winks and the nods and all this all this wacky stuff going on. And then it just kind of just shifted after that. Once they got past all that.
Well, let's see. Let's jump into this. We all saw the first movie, right?
Yes. Which I really, really liked.
And we liked it. I'm guessing.
I liked it a lot.
Right. It was fun. It was different.
It was the best of the DC movies, I think.
I would tend to agree with that. Yeah. And it didn't go, it wasn't over the top. It wasn't campy. There were some good underlying tones to it. And then we have this thing. It seemed, for me, all over the place. Yeah. And the fact that 1984 is in the title. And
maybe a little more relevant to 1984 for whatever reason.
The 80s were kind of like a backseat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I expected more 80s stuff. And it seemed like the 80s are just, we love nostalgia. We love all this 80s crap, everyone. So why isn't there more 80s stuff? It felt like you could have put this movie anywhere, in any era.
Yeah, aside from the trip to the mall, where you got to see all the old-time stores and people doing their aerobics in the middle of the mall and the men gawking and the closet fashion show with Chris Pine.
Yep.
Going through and trying to pick an outfit. That was all there was in the 80s. There was no real other reference. That could have been said any other point in time.
Yeah, I was surprised. You could have done stuff about the first Macintosh. You could have done stuff. There's endless. Reagan. God, it was just surprising how that was just not a part of the movie, even though it's part of the title.
Yeah, they could have just picked, Wonder Woman 1955 and done, 2 minutes of the Big Bopper and moved on to anything else. It wouldn't have mattered. Who cares? There was really nothing there.
I thought the story was kind of convoluted in too many places, and I still can't figure out the Chris Pine and the other guy thing. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
One of the comments that I read was, in this era now of the Me Too movement, where you have to ask permission for everything, she allows Chris Pine to take over another man's body and does things to that man without his consent. So what's going on there? This is inappropriately Me Too. This is, and she's like a moral dilemma about whether or not to let him stay. Like, you've taken over a man's body. This is not appropriate.
So one of the big parts of the movie is Pedro Pascal.
Yes.
The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Right? And totally unmasked.
And he's in The Kingsman, and he's everywhere.
He's everywhere, and this is the first, I think his big coming out party as a full-on star of a movie, right? You could have made a movie about him and his whole character.
Yep.
He was probably the most interesting thing in the movie for me.
And he did typify a lot of the 80s with the kind of greed is good kind of mentality and the, you dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And it's all show, smoke and mirrors. He's in the big glitzy building and he's got a fancy office and there's nothing else there. The whole rest of the floor is empty. Yeah.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It was like he was in a boiler room. Yeah.
So I think he's the best part of the movie in a lot of ways. Kristen Wiig. I didn't know she was in this. I was surprised.
Yeah, I saw she was in it, and I was a little surprised that she was going to become an action star.
Yeah.
And she was fairly good up until the CGI.
Yeah.
The CGI kind of lost a lot of people. In Justice League, when the villain was all CGI'd, it was Kieran Hines as the voice, and it was just all like, you lost half the audience with this. Nobody wants to see that.
You know what kind of lost me? How old is Wonder Woman supposed to be at this point? 100 years old, but she just figures out how to fly.
No one told her before she could.
Yeah, very strange. The whole lasso thing was a little cheesy.
Yeah,
almost like
snagging lightning bolts to go from place to place.
It had bits of Spider-Man in there with the lasso.
Yeah,
swinging through the sky. It was a little weird.
I agree. The CGI with what, Cheetah, is that her name?
Yeah,
it's sort of weird, and I can't figure out her whole character, what's going on with that. It's just, I don't know. You could have done the whole movie without her, right?
One of the best cameos for an end credit, though, right?
Yeah.
You see Linda Carter? You see Linda Carter?
Yeah.
That was great.
So I like Chris Pine a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's got that swagger to him, and there's a lot of self-deprecating humor to him. I think he's really good as Captain Kirk. He sort of gets muffled in this a little bit to me.
Yeah, what I also thought was odd is that she hasn't aged, and he looked like he aged 20 years, and he's dead. he shouldn't have aged at all. He should have looked exactly like he did at the end of World War One.
That whole thing just doesn't. Yeah. There's no explanation. Yeah. It's just you're supposed to just throw away reality. Yeah. It's a little bit tough.
The whole thing was that she wished him back.
Yeah, she wished him back then, right? But it's not totally clear. I don't know. It's strange. So let's talk about our friend from Israel.
Gal.
If she is not my friend. I do not know her.
But you wish she was.
I hope she won't be typecast in this, you know, forever. That she's always going to be Wonder Woman, right?
Well, she's going to play she's playing Cleopatra next.
Good. That's great. Because she needs to... I think there's so much more there than this, you know, pew, 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 thing, right? That's actual Wonder Woman sound effects we just added in.
How about a pew, pew, pew?
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. I think she'd be great. She'd be great in a rom-com. She'd be great at some sort of drama. I really want to see her do other things and get away from this. And it's hard probably to say no to the whole superhero big check thing, but
they also are locked in with these contracts.
I know she's probably got like 12 of these to go.
You're kind of stuck doing these movies and you can't really do anything else.
Yeah.
So,
but I think it's a different market though, because no one seems to get really, really typecast like they did in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. You know, I think she could break out of it pretty easily.
I hope so. I hope so. So this felt like to me like a setback for superhero movies.
Yeah.
It felt like, okay, we've kind of hit the wall on this. And maybe it's just a DC thing, but it felt like we've gone as far as we can go. We got too cheesy, and they didn't get cheesy in the right places. And like the 80s thing we're talking about. And it just wasn't a great story. And
I think that's the bigger thing is that the story just wasn't there compared to the Marvel movies. The Marvel stories they're just so much better.
Yeah. And that's it. And if no matter who the character is and what the CGI is doing, you've got to have a good story.
And they said that her first movie might be the best DC movie they've ever made. Mm-hmm. It's certainly right up there with the Christian Bale Batmans.
Yeah.
And they said, and this movie fits in with all the other movies they've made.
Yeah.
With the Batman versus Superman, Justice League, everything else. Like you made the same movie again. And it's just, it's almost disappointing.
Well, it's like the second Iron Man movie. They just threw too many things at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the third Spider-Man or the second Spider-Man where they just put in too many characters.
Yeah.
All over the place.
You could pull this thing apart in 12 different ways to make a better movie. You could do a movie about her, Wonder Woman's life on the island when she was a little girl.
Yeah.
That's a whole movie. The whole backstory.
That was actually pretty cool.
It was. When is this going to end? It's really long. Why is there like 15 minutes of this? But I could have watched more of that instead of all the other stuff. What's his name? Max Lord. That's a whole movie. I'm not sure Cheetah's a movie. Maybe.
No.
I don't know. Chris Pine and her together doing another movie. Gal Gadot doing another movie together in a totally different setting would be fine. I think they need to simplify the storytelling.
Yeah, I think there's also problems when in any movie where there are two villains ruin it because you're like, who are you supposed to fight? Max Lord and Cheetah.
Right.
You know, what's going on here? That's just too much.
Like I said, you could
focus on one villain and move on.
It's like the George Schumacher Batman movies where they had, you know, Mr. Freeze and Joker you know, it just, and didn't you have Poison Ivy? Wasn't that Uma Thurman?
Uma Thurman playing Poison Ivy.
And there's just lack of focus.
If you could have one wish from Max Lord. Let's call him the Dark Lord. Wait, that's a different movie. From Max Lord, what would you wish for?
More whiskey right now.
More whiskey? That's it?
Sure.
That's your one big wish?
Yeah, because then what do I got to give up? I don't have to give anything up.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about what the one good thing I have that is going to take from me. Seriously, dude. You want any of this? Go right ahead.
Take it. Please. Take it.
Don't get a wish.
Be like, I'll give you half a wish because I don't want anything from you.
All right. Well, I don't know that I have a wish either, but more whiskey is a great idea. Should we move on to our next whiskey?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Let's do that. Gotta have a little bit of water first.
So we got the milk and honey, their elements. This is their sherry cask, Aaron, right?
Correct. So this is in their elements line, and this is an Oloroso and PX Pedro Jimenez.
Jimenez. We need Pedro Pascal to say Pedro Jimenez.
Oh, that would be great. Maybe on the next episode of What We Watch When We Drink.
Your dear friend Colosimo wants us to send out samples
for a drink along. It's like a sing along, but it's better.
That's in the next iteration. That's next season.
That's next season? Okay.
Season two.
If we're brought back.
Once we go on a hiatus, it's a crapshoot. You never know.
By the way, weren't we canceled at season four? Episode four?
We were. We kind of got it. There was like a letter writing contest. People were writing stuff in versus postcards.
Episode five.
And then we're getting back for a couple episodes.
There were protests in city halls in Philadelphia and Los Angeles, I heard, to bring us back.
They took over Seattle and burned a lot of it just for us.
And you can see why.
Hey, personality, man.
It's all personality.
So I'm getting a lot of the sherry on the nose.
Yep. Really dark fruits. Also a 46%er.
I like that they have some confidence and they're like, we're not going to water it down.
Yeah.
None of this 40% stuff. No bare minimum there.
Yeah, you're right.
And considering the angel share, what they're actually getting out of the barrel,
right?
They'd almost have a right to water it down because they're not getting as many bottles. That's nice. It's really nice.
It is nice. At least nice on the nose. Mike is going in.
Mm-hmm. It's not super sherried. It starts to build up, though. It starts to get, like, hotter as you go. It starts off slow, and then it builds, but it doesn't get, like, crazy. That's nice. It's very light sherry.
It definitely is hotter as you go.
Not as drying as some of the sherries, either.
Well, these are two sherries that aren't too dry. Yeah. They're richer. They're a little sweeter. I like it.
Spicy. I think it's spicier than the other one, too.
Spicier.
They're both being at 46%. This one's feels a little hotter.
Again, thank you to the fine folks at Impex Beverages for sending us the samples. And thank you to our friends at Milk and Honey for making such nice whiskey. We've been lucky enough to talk to those guys a few times in 2020. One day we'll get there and visit.
With the booze plane. That's what
with
we need.
With the booze
Invisible plane. Invisible plane. Because we need to fly under the radar.
Oh, man.
We would definitely.
Mr. Spears adding that no whiskey should be bottled at 40%. I think he's darn right.
Unless you're totally bottling
for the bottom shelf.
Yeah, table whiskey.
Table whiskey.
Table whiskey. Just to, lure people in. They can do it at 40%.
You do need the 40% stuff so you can bring a gift to somebody's house.
I might like the classic a little better.
Classic better? Yeah.
I think it's got a little more oomph. This is very nice, but I think it's a little more subtle.
I like the classic better too, but that's because I don't really not big on the sherry finishes as a rule.
And I'd go the other way because I like the sherry finishes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into more of their stuff, I think, over the next year or so. They've got a few different lines coming. There's more single cask coming. We're going to, I think we'll be touching on, we'll be visiting Milk and Honey again.
Did we give a final grade to?
We didn't.
I'm not a big grader, as you guys know, but go ahead.
Oh, Wonder Woman, I mean, the movie.
Oh, the movie. What's our scale?
I don't know.
You want to go? Letter grades. I go B minus.
I go C minus.
C minus.
It depends. There's elements that I thought were kind of fun. I like the Steve Trevor fish out of water thing. They kind of flipped the script from the first movie.
Yeah. There should have been more of that, though.
What's that?
There should have been more of that.
Yeah, that would have been kind of fun because they seem to adapt pretty quickly. And, I got a couple issues with the plane. Okay. Hey, what kind of plane was that?
And how come he can fly that plane?
Yeah, how can you fly a jet when he was barely flying a prop plane before?
That's right.
Well, that was number one. And then, I looked up an F-15. The range on an F-15 is 600 miles. D.C. to Israel is a little more than 600 miles.
And when does the Smithsonian keep a fueled plane?
Yeah. Let's have all these people come in to get stuff with a bunch of fuel, inside of the museum.
There was a few things you just got to be like, okay, sure.
I wish it was a half hour shorter.
Uh huh. Yeah, that would help. Then you could
chop out a lot of the wacky stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would have made the story any better, but there was just it was just too long.
You could have cut down on some of the wish business. That was silly.
That was kind
of endless. Hey, what would have been fun? The guy who was the king of oil. He was Rami's dad, right? The
guy he was?
That
went to,
yeah, that was Rami's dad.
Oh.
I like him. I would like to see more of him.
Yeah.
that would have been a little bit more interesting than all the other stuff.
He was Rami's dad, really?
Yeah. I'm looking at him. I'm like, hey, that's Rami's dad.
That's funny. You know, as much as we love our girl Gal, I cannot recommend this movie.
Yeah, through no fault of hers.
No,
she was fine.
Movie just it just doesn't work.
It also, we're kind of going backwards here, but it probably needed, I don't know if it was originally going to be a Christmas time movie or not. It probably needed to be tested and edited down. And maybe there was rush to get it out because of everything that's going on. Studios need to kind of recoup some of their monies and get stuff in the studio so Mike could go see it with his family and spend $300 on popcorn.
Well, I don't know.
It seemed like it needed a little more work before it got to the finished line.
Yeah, and if 2.5 hours was edited down, what was that before they started editing?
Okay, so we're moving on to a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and it's actually kind of relevant in our current world, Israeli TV. And there is a lot of Israeli TV, and I found this article that was kind of interesting, and it's more for discussion. Since 2006, there's 72 Israeli things that have been sold to U.S. networks.
Wow.
Now that's what, 14 years of things coming to the United States.
Yeah, now, 5 a year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it is or isn't. Well,
it's just that average out to 5 years.
Nine have been broadcast more than one season, and we can go talk about those. Four TV series have aired more than one season. And these things pop up all the time. And they're influential in some ways, some of them, because they're an Israeli show in Israel, but then it gets bought here and changed into something else.
Right.
And the biggest one that you can think of is, or a couple, is In Treatment, which was an Israeli show and then sold to, I guess, HBO.
The one with Gabriel Byrne.
Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah,
Gabriel Byrne. And Prisoners of War, which was an Israeli show and then converted and changed into what we know as Homeland. Probably the biggest one, I guess. I suppose Homeland, 9 seasons.
Yeah, it's went on forever and won a lot of awards over the 9 seasons.
The original show was only like maybe 3 seasons in Israel. So it's not just an Israeli conversation. It's maybe a global conversation about where, if this is like the place where everyone wants to have their show come to, right?
Right.
You know, in the United States market. There's places like Denmark and the Brits. They're all making product and making product for themselves, but they're also probably making product to sell to the dumb US guys, right? And I think we see that a lot. And we all like our individual country choices. I love Israeli TV. I love British TV.
Yeah.
We've seen some really interesting things. The shows from Scandinavia, they're all really cool. And some, but a lot don't make it, like a lot of TV shows.
Yeah, you wonder what the hit rate is in general to see if, you know, what's going on with the Israeli television is better or worse, on par. There's a lot of shows that come out and you're like, boy, that was a stinker. The 3 episodes. That was 3 episodes too many.
So there's one that I got hooked on Amazon called The Baker and the Beauty. And it's about a beautiful model. And ask me the names of all these actors and actresses. And she hits it off with a baker. Literally, his family has a little bakery, little corner shop, and he makes hummus or pitas all day. And so completely opposite ends of the spectrum on the societal level. And then they fall in love and shouldn't happen. She's famous.
Was it like Moonstruck Israeli style?
Sort of. So it gets sold. There was like 3 seasons or 2 seasons. And it gets sold to the U.S. ABC remakes this thing. I don't know what they called it. Basically the same thing. And it barely lasted 1 season. Gone. So I think it goes back to what we talked about with Wonder Woman. You got to have a good story. And it has to be written well.
Yeah.
Right. The premise might be great, but you still got to write good episodes and good stories.
Yeah,
I just watched one. Well, I wanted to go back and talk about these shows that we've all heard about, right? HBO, In Treatment, Euphoria.
I don't think I've ever seen In Treatment.
You never signed treatment? Oh boy, that's great. It's a little uncomfortable at times. Gabriel Byrne is a therapist in his own home. And so he has people coming into his home to, you know, and it's like every season was like two or three characters or patients that he would treat. And it kind of crossed some, you know, lines, doctor patient lines.
Yeah.
It's really good. I don't know how the US, the Israeli version was. Euphoria. I didn't see Euphoria. That's
HBO too.
That's HBO also. So Showtime had the Homeland, Prisoners of War thing.
That thing out to death.
I saw Prisoners of War. It's very good. And I think it was three. And it took me like a whole season to figure out that this is going to be how this could convert into Homeland. It wasn't immediately, how did they get from there to there? How did they get this whole Homeland
thing? I really like Damian Lewis. And I really like Manny Patinkin. I really don't like Claire Danes.
So that's really funny.
So it's tough because you're like,
I like her.
Maybe it's that character. I really didn't like that character.
I'm not a fan of her as an actress. Yeah. I wish there was someone else that did it for 9 years, but I really liked the show.
It's a really good show, but it was just hard with her year after year. Just like, couldn't something happen to her and you replace her with somebody?
Yep. And it's not about a woman in the Israeli version either. It's about men that get caught, taken in. Let's see, Netflix. So this I haven't seen, but it's supposed to be good. Is the Greenhouse Academy? It's a bunch of kids in a special school who, have to ward off the evil bad kids at school. Fauda. So I cannot recommend Fauda enough. Fauda is written by two guys who are actually in an elite.
Special forces?
I think it was special, not Mossad, but special forces who actually infiltrate occupied territory to weed out bad guys. So it's somewhat of first person accounts. And it's a little bit soap opera. What I find about Israeli TV, it's all a little soap opera.
Yeah.
There's always a girl and a guy who, you know, are on the side doing something they shouldn't be doing. But then there's the better story is the action stuff. It's really good. It's good. The showrunner for Homeland, his fingerprints are on all kinds of shows. You see him in lots of places. And there's a bunch of these shows he's got a touch in. I think he's in this Mossad 101, which is following Mossad. That's also a Netflix show. And Shtetl. Now, that's like kind of out of the blue look at a very Orthodox family in a very Orthodox neighborhood in Jerusalem. And how are they trying to deal with their folks in their family who want to kind of branch away from the very religious part of their life. It's really good drama. I highly recommend that one. And some game show called Deal With It, which is on TBS. So those were the nine that were on for more than one season. Right. And now these other ones, this is kind of interesting. There's been 14 shows of that 72 originally that were canceled. 12 canceled after the pilot.
Wow.
Never got there. Now, that's I don't know how. And 24 were canceled in early production. So I don't know if these numbers are representative of Hollywood in general. Is that the default rate? I don't know. But it doesn't seem like. And 9 weren't even started. So they bought the rights and then never took it off the ground. I watched
Grey's Anatomy. And the show's been on for 17 years, and they've rotated a lot of cast members, and they write them off the show in various capacities, and they've all left to do something else. And only one person who's left the show has actually been on for more than a season. And they've had like 12 people leave who are main cast members on this show that's still on the air. Now you've moved to something else. So, yeah, so the hit rate in Hollywood probably isn't any better than what you're talking about for Israel.
Maybe.
And giving up a plum assignment and going, oh, I'm going to be a big star now. No,
maybe they pull a David Caruso.
Oh, David Caruso, McLean Stevenson, Pernell Roberts—pretty much anybody that's ever thought to greener pastures.
This article says that the initial payment for a show is about $20,000. If the series goes into production, then $70,000 more plus royalties for each episode. So it's not a huge outlay of money to from an American network.
Yeah.
If this is correct. So it's almost like it's a cheap gamble.
Yeah, and then I guess the little actors, they're working for scale or whatever, and you know, you're not paying anybody anything until it hits.
Yeah. Now, I don't know the difference between that and, well, maybe it's always the same kind of math where you're either you're taking a show to redevelop it into an American version or taking a show just to put it right onto right onto Netflix or
right
out of the box. I'm not sure what the difference is if on the price tag, but it's I'm guessing this is true whether it's coming from Denmark or whether it's coming from Spain or wherever.
Yeah.
So the U.S. sort of has everyone by the short hairs.
Sure.
To some extent, right?
We got all the networks. Sure.
Yeah. And it's, and they need so much content.
Yeah.
A couple other ones that were in this this article that have aired for more than one season. Our Boys, which is on HBO, which is a kind of a true crime view of a couple of murders in Israel between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Very good, serialized. Tehran, which was on Apple Plus, also very good, which I liked. Judah, which is on Hulu. I don't know what that one's about. Shadow of Truth, which is on Netflix. So those are the only four that have aired more than one season. You know, actual Israeli shows. Those were not adapted into an American version.
Do they have more of a British model, though, where it's like eight episodes is a season and a series, where it isn't like it's almost like a bunch of miniseries.
Yeah.
Like we used to have like Winds of War or something like that, you know, Roots, the North and South. That's kind of the way that the British TV works. It's like eight episodes of something and then everyone's on to something else.
Yeah, I think I can't recall any of these shows that I've seen more than eight episodes. And some were probably less. Maybe a few were a bit longer.
Yeah.
I watched Valley of Tears on HBO Max about the Yom Kippur War, and it was very good. It can't be more than eight episodes. Right. It might have been 10. Maybe.
Well, on the list you sent out ahead of time, I was intrigued by The Spy.
Oh, The Spy is really
it sounds like an interesting premise, and it has a real actor that we would know playing the spy. It's Sacha Baron Cohen, where it really seems like it's something to be like, this actually would be something maybe I'd watch.
Yeah, I think that's on Netflix. I started watching it, but then, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just kind
of... Yeah, sounds like something I watch. We binged all of Cobra Kai Season 3 last night.
Oh, did you?
So I have a whole year now, like 363 days now, to find something else to watch. So this list will be helpful. I've got more things to watch.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend The Spy. First off, it's Sacha Baron Cohen, you'd expect him to be. It's not a comedy. It's very serious. He's a spy, as Sam said, he's a spy in the early days of Israel, and he's undercover in Lebanon. And there's some really interesting connections between current day stuff as well, which I'm not sure are true or not, but they're kind of interesting. There's one that's coming out that I was reading about called, it's coming on Apple Plus, I think at the end of this month, and it's called Losing Alice, and it's about an actress, I think she's a TV director. She's in her mid-50s, and she's at this like turning point in her life. Her kids are, you know, a little older. She feels like she's ignored at home, I think. And then it's through a series of flashbacks and flash forwards, how her life is changing. And she meets some young girl who kind of takes her on this venture to, you know, I guess see what she could or couldn't be. So that's coming out in a few weeks. One interesting thing, and I wonder if this is true. It's not true in America, but America's much, much bigger, right? The crop of actors and actresses is very large, right?
Yeah.
In Israel, it feels like there's like 12 actors and actresses. They're in all of the same things. It is wild. It is crazy how often I'll see one of these things. Hey, that's the girl from Stitzel. In fact, that's this woman in Alice and this Losing Alice. She's from Stitzel. that guy Frenchie, was the French guy in The Boys?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's from like, he's Israeli too. He's like in three of these shows too. It's like they have 12 actors and actresses that they choose from, and they're in all the same things. It's really weird.
We import all our actors from Australia and New Zealand and England.
Yeah, we don't have any. We don't have any here.
No.
So I think I'm not sure what the point of all this was, except that I find it interesting that one country, there are 72 things in the last 15 years. I don't know if that's a lot or a little, but I like a lot of these things that are coming out of Israel. Some of them have a religious bent, some don't. A lot of them are military based, some aren't. Some are just kind of out of the blue, and there's game shows. There's things that we haven't talked about either. But it's true from other countries as well, and it's interesting to see where American TV gets their content. If you look on Netflix, my gosh, if you just type in the word British, you get like 50, 100 shows. Us Americans like the, I think we like foreign content in a lot of ways.
We like to pretend we're highbrow.
We do, because we really aren't.
Oh, it's funny when you talk about importing stuff. I mean, Homeland, you said, was about two seasons or three seasons in Israel?
Yeah.
And it's been nine here.
Nine.
And then The Office, the British Office, was like 10 episodes. 10 yeah. episodes wasn't even like the first season of The Office here.
Yeah, it was like 10 years here.
We right. milk things to death here, right? Oh, my God.
We brought over All in the Family. I mean, that was from over there.
We like to milk things to death to no end.
Speaking of that, there is, what was it? Everybody Loves Raymond. Did you ever see that thing about, what was his name, Phil Rosenthal? No, what is his name?
Yeah, Phil Rosenthal.
Phil Rosenthal. Phil Rosenthal.
He was going to export the show to Russia, and there was a documentary he made, Everybody Loves Kolya. I don't know if it's still available on Netflix. Oh, I really wanted funny. To see it, but I haven't. So he had to go over there and like kind of work on the script with everybody, and it was just, it sounds like a good time.
Well, I think there's just some other show like that where you're exporting our content other places. It's like a franchise to McDonald's. Right. You can put them anywhere, right? So you can do an Everyone Loves Raymond pretty much everywhere, right? Just change the names and change the language, and you know, we're good at importing. We should be almost better than at exporting.
It's like, you know, the game shows Wheel of Fortune in 170 countries.
All right. Are we moving on to other whiskey? Do we have other whiskey to drink, or are we using the same ones?
That's all I have right now, unless I go grab something else.
No. Well, we can stay with these.
I poured off the little bit of the M&H pomegranate that I had left.
Oh, did you really?
I drank on mine.
I think I finished it, too.
So I believe that's coming this year.
I kept splitting the samples in the thought that I'd give some to my neighbor, and I just figured, nah, who cares?
So onwards and upwards, boys. What are we watching currently that we haven't really talked about on TV or elsewhere?
I got a list. We've talked about a few things off and on. And I finished up What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh,
thanks to our friend Greg Swartz's recommendation. And that was a lot of fun. I didn't watch it like 100% with 100% attention. It was kind of like, because I was put on late and I wound up falling asleep. And you know how the shows just keep going. You wake up and the season's over. I'm like, what the hell happened? But some of the stuff, season two is probably better than season one. It's crazy stuff. It's so out there. It's just so funny.
I definitely want to go back to that, and because I've watched the first like two or three episodes like four times and never gone back. So I need to go back and just, you know, with you and Greg saying it was worth it, I'm going back. By the way, Greg is the director of the Water of Life movie that's coming out.
The cast is fantastic. They are just so funny. They're really good.
What else you got?
I'm watching Your Honor, which you said was an Israeli show.
That was an Israeli show too. Yeah. The one with Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it. We're sticking with it. You know, Margot Martindale joined the cast for episode 4. And of course she plays like his mother-in-law, and she's like a state senator, I think. It's bizarre. You know the premise of the show?
A judge and his kid gets in trouble and he tries to save him, basically.
Yes. Yeah, he just kind of finds ways. Well, first he was going to send his son to jail and say, look, you know, confess and go in. But then he realizes who his son killed, who just happens to be like the mob boss's son of New Orleans. So things change. Things change rapidly. But unfortunately, he got the wheels moving and he called a lawyer beforehand and he talked to one of the detectives. beforehand, so things aren't that easy to sweep under the rug.
Any other names in there that we know?
What is his name? Stuhlberg, Michael Stuhlberg, who was Arnold Rothstein in Boardwalk Empire.
Yep. He's the guy that fixes the 1919 World Series. Yep.
Yeah. I like him. He's a really good actor. Not sure if I like him on this. Hope Davis plays his wife. She's okay. She's kind of like she's kind of like Connie in Godfather 3. Yeah.
Oh, annoying. You
know? a little Machiavellian in behind the scenes.
And there's a guy from one of your favorite shows on it, right? The Wire.
Oh yeah. The guy who played the senator.
He was a senator on The Wire. He plays the judge's friend, right? His best friend.
Yes.
I don't remember who the senator was in The Wire.
You remember the guy, the one who was pretty much in on every single deal.
Clay Davis. Actor.
I can't think of his name, but it was Senator Clay Davis.
That's Isaiah Whitlock.
Okay, yeah, he's good. So I don't know. I think we're just going to see it through because it's Cranston. I give him a lot of leeway.
It's dropped on my list. It was higher on my list, and I haven't started it. It was on the to-do list, but after hearing what you said, it's not. It's slowly moving down. I got other things to watch.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's, you know, it's on Sunday nights and it's Cranston. It's event TV. I'm like, all right, let me give it a shot. So we'll see how it goes. I want to see what they do more with Margot Martindale, who has been on a lot of great shows.
Mike, you know? Anything you've been watching, Mike?
You watched Cobra Kai, right?
We blew through the whole Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. That's right. I have not seen it, but it's big in my house.
Sat down with the family, watched the whole thing. I kept telling them to go to bed, save something for later. They watched the whole thing. And there's a lot of extra special guest stars in this series.
Oh, are there?
And the storyline gets a little convoluted, but it's okay.
Now, didn't that start out as a YouTube thing first before it went to... Right?
It was on YouTube TV for a couple seasons, and Netflix picked it up, and now it's kind of gained this a new life.
It's like, it's on fire. It's en fuego.
It's a fun show.
And people are willing to show up and be on it, and they keep bringing back old people from the original movie, which is amazing to me. And they have, you know, I guess unused footage from the first two Karate Kid movies.
Right, and they're just interspliced
of Pat Morita, where they splice in like flashbacks. We're like, this didn't happen in the movie. I don't know what this is from. Where I guess they had extra footage, and how they got the rights to do this, I don't know if it's all locked in with the whole studio. I know Will Smith is one of the executive producers, so I don't know if he has the rights to Karate Kid. He made a terrible version with Jackie Chan and his son. I'm not sure if he's the guy that owns the rights to it now, so he gets to go and take the old footage in. I told Wendy, though, I said, if Hilary Swank shows up sometime, I might be out, because that was Karate Kid 3. I don't know.
That's funny.
One of the great comments from this season was, what happened to Ralph Macchio's hair?
Lack of?
Because it really looks like he's wearing a toupe this year.
Nice.
And it didn't look like that before. So, because you can Google anything, I just go in and I type in Ralph Macchio, wear a toupee. And there's pages and pages of people questioning whether he's wearing a toupee or not. So, like, are you fooled? No one. And I got another thing with Billy Zabka, who's, you know, Johnny Lawrence. And he became an adult and said, I'd like to be William Zabka. And How I Met Your Mother ruined that for me. Because the Barney and the Neil Patrick Harris's Barney Simpson's character always refers to him as Billy Zabka the whole time. And in one of the episodes, they actually allude to one of Barney's comments, is that he lost to Ralph Macchio, to the Karate Kid, on an illegal kick to the face, that you can't actually do that. And in it, they comment on, oh, you only won because of the illegal kick to the face. And I thought, oh, they're pointing things out. I wonder if they got that from.
Oh, that's funny.
From Barney Stinson coming in and complaining.
Anything else you guys are watching?
Let me see. I finished 000.
Oh, 000.
That was really good.
Top 10 or 15 item from last year on a lot of people's lists.
That was very good. And I'm curious to see where it ends. I mean, where it goes.
If there's a second season. I don't know if there is or not.
I'd be fine if they didn't have a second season, because I think it was pretty self-contained.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to see where she goes, the main character. But it's story. It's done. It's a movie that has an ending to it.
Yeah, they get to all be self-contained, and you're fine. You know, season ends, we're good.
Yep. Anything else, Ange?
Let me see. 000, that, Cobra Kai. Watched a couple movies, trying to watch a little more movies. So I watched The Invisible Man, and that was with, what's her name? Peggy from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Elizabeth Moss. I got a chime in from the
I hear the peanut gallery.
Elizabeth Moss. Yeah. And it was okay. It wasn't bad. It was kind of fun. It was one of those Blumhouse horror movies. Yeah. And it was kind of clever the way they did it. Like how they did the invisibility thing was interesting, you know, as opposed to him. I'm not going to spoil it. So, but it was okay. It kept me entertained. And during, then there was another. What was that, Mike?
During our last podcast, someone was touting HBO Max over and over again, almost as if he was being sponsored by HBO Max. And we now discovered we have HBO Max. So that's what's on the lineup, is to go through and find all the shows that you talked about the last time. Yeah. Say, I have HBO Max. I can actually watch all these things.
Hey, you got to watch the, what's it called? You got to watch the Flight Attendant.
Yeah.
Oh, the Flight Attendant. Yes.
Oh, well, they're going through the whole thing as we're going and watching stuff. And Wendy says, what's the Flight Attendant about with the kids in the room? And I'm like, yeah, no, you can't watch that with the kids. It's like a murder mystery. I don't think they'd like that.
Well, the good thing with that, though, really, it is mostly all language. There's no real.
Yeah, there's a lot of language.
Oh,
yeah.
Whatever. I've seen your boys out there.
I'm trying to make it better, not worse.
We're doomed, please.
I don't watch a lot of movies, but one that I watched recently was Mank.
That was very good. I finally watched it when I was awake.
That was HBO Max?
No, it's on Netflix. I watched it last Saturday morning.
The story of Herman Mankiewicz, who is the lead writer on.
Well, he wrote Citizen Kane, correct?
Citizen Kane, yep. So
he was the lead writer on pretty much everything in the 30s and 40s, right?
Yeah, he wrote
pretty much everything. And his brother Joseph was the producer.
I thought Mank was really good. And it's Gary Oldman. It's a Gary. It's a Glengarry Glen Ross. he was great.
That bomb.
Yeah. It's filmed in a very interesting way. It's told in a very interesting way. I love old Hollywood. Who's the main girl actress? Is that not Chloe Sevigny? It's Amanda Seyfried. Right.
Yeah, she was good. She was really. Yeah. Good.
It was well done. I don't know how this all works with Oscars and things, but hopefully that will get a little bit of recognition come Oscar time. It's kind of a weird thing that's going on in my house. There's an anime thing going on, and my daughters are kind of going backwards 10 years in their lives and watching a lot of anime. And so I'm kind of gotten back into some anime stuff. And I started watching one called The Great Pretender, and it's on Netflix. And Mike, you know, the beginning title sequence in The Flight Attendant, it's almost very similar. Very kind of
that's
how the look is of the title sequence in The Great Pretender, if that tells you anything. And it's kind of an Ocean's 11-ish kind of feel to it, but it's anime, right? So it's these Japanese characters, and the first, I'm only on episode 3 or 4, but it's all in Los Angeles. There's In-N-Out Burger, there's the LAX is in it, Hollywood, and trying to, you know, scam this person or that person. It almost doesn't make sense, but it's because it doesn't feel like regular anime. There's no like superheroes. It's all, you know, almost True Detective crime stuff. It's very fun. And the other one that I've kind of gone back to, which is an older anime, it's called Death Note. It's actually an old series from like 10 years ago at least. And it's that's more of your standard manga storyline. It's based on some books. And
manga or manga?
Manga. It's about having this notebook that comes from these evil gods. And if you write this is the short version. If you write, whoever gets this book, if you write someone's name in that book, they'll die. And so,
well, that's not good.
One character gets the book, but he wants to use it for good. He wants to kill all the bad people, murderers, pedophiles, you name it. But of course, nothing is so simple. Yeah. And So it's 37 episodes. They're like 20 minutes long. I think two seasons. So one of my daughters has already gone through them all. And totally, it's kind of dark, as you might expect. And I'm getting back into it. I read the books.
Was it a graphic novel?
Yeah, graphic novel. And it's really fun. Fun in a dark way. So I think that's
going to be good. It's not the guy that did Dark Knight, is it?
No. No.
What's his name, Miller? No.
Frank Miller. This is Japanese.
Oh, okay. Now, going back to your manga or the Japanese, or is it anime or Japanese animation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My youngest, who, you know, fancies himself an artist, who's actually getting pretty good at it, he's been watching the Studio Ghibli movies on future sponsor, great. HBO Max.
HBO Max. If it's not on HBO Max, it's not on.
It's, you know what? If it's not HBO Max, it's not TV.
It's not.
You get the max for the minimum. No, wait, that's a whole different thing. Never mind.
For $14.99, the max can be yours too.
That's it. Yeah, but he's been getting into it. He watched Spirited Away so far, and I tried to watch it twice, and I don't know, the timing was bad, and I just fell asleep both times. I mean, it was neat. I think it's the music. It's just very, very soothing.
They're all
really why you
good.
Fall asleep.
Yeah.
I get real cozy, and it's like, oh,
I believe
I'm done.
The whole library of movies is on HBO Max.
Here's your sponsor, HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Mike, what did we say?
Cards and letters.
Cards and letters. Checks. And letters. We take PayPal, checks. Too.
Chicks.
The whole library is on that channel. And I think one of my daughters is trying to get through all of it, the whole thing, even though we have a bunch of them on DVDs already.
Yeah, he's on a mission too. He's going actually in reverse order from supposed best to worst for whatever reason.
Oh, found a list somewhere. That's cool.
I would have gone chronological, but that's just me because I like to see where it evolves.
I would go worst to best.
Yeah, exactly. Best to worst. That too.
I wouldn't do that. I watched the best one, and they'd be like, "Oh, these are stinkers."
Uh-huh.
They're fun. They're really interesting stories, and they're the actual animation is just really interesting.
It's like watercolors on screen.
It's very watercolory and very vibrant. I've seen a few actually in those things that Mike went to. What was it called? A theater?
Movie theater. Is that the big dark room with the big screen?
It's the old timey picture.
Everybody's on their phone and annoying the crap out of you.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the thing was. But seeing those on a big screen was kind of fun. I started watching Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
So,
that's the Shonda Rhimes show on,
Rhimes
on Netflix.
And I watched the first episode. And I didn't really know much about it. But here locally in the LA Times, there's been lots of articles about it. Mike, you familiar with this one, Mike?
No. I know that she kind of went into ABC with all the shows she's put out for them, and they kind of blew her off about re-upping her production deal. And then she just went, okay, see ya.
Netflix said, hey, come on over, huh? We're going to pay you a lot of money.
I think ABC's just kicking themselves.
Yeah. So it's a period piece in the early part of the 19th century in England, London, and it's about the aristocracy trying to marry off their daughters. So it's a couple families that are kind of, you know, the main characters. It's told in a really interesting way from the one episode. It's told from the point of view of a Luella Parsons, you know, from the 1920s who would, you know, a gossip writer, basically. And there's a little gossip newspaper that gets taken out to the crowd and the town crier. Hey, here's the new story about all the girls that are, you know, looking for a prince to marry. And it's so far, the first episode was fun. And the interesting thing with Shonda Rhimes running it is that it kind of is an alternative universe where not everyone's white.
Right. It's a diverse casting.
Very diverse casting. There's Asian people walking around in London in 1815 or whatever it is.
Right.
And there's African-American folks that aren't slaves. And there are, you know, it's across the board. There's Indian folks. And it's a interesting way of looking at the world of that time. It's kind of fun.
Well, and if you think about England at that time, their flag was everywhere. You know, the sun never sets on the empire. So right. They probably did have people
yes.
of a variety of ethnicities rolling around. So
correct. Right.
Someone might have found somebody. The guy who opened up one of the Japanese distilleries, he went from Japan to Scotland in the 1800s, right. married yep. a Scottish woman, and took her yep. back to Japan. I mean,
that's right.
It happened.
Was it Nika?
I think yeah. it was the guy that set up Nika.
That's Nika. Sorry, this kind of rolls backwards to something that I just finally finished, and I should have mentioned this earlier. I went through The Crown, all yeah. four seasons.
How was it? I hear it's very good.
What period did you like best?
You know, I like the early ones better because I like that era better. I was less mm-hmm. you know, the Princess Di stuff's a little bit trashy. You know, it's a little bit too current for me.
Hey, question. How was Scully as Thatcher?
She's really good. So yeah. she can be anything for me. I like Dan Scully.
Someone's a little biased.
Yeah. but I found going back to what you said, we were talking about with Bridgerton and this alternate universe of race in society. This is a little more real. Right. This is the way it was. And there's a lot of looking down on people. And for instance, with Thatcher, she's comes from a very middle class family and she's cooking her own. She's the Prime Minister of England and she's making her own meals and baking her own dinners and treating her daughter like crap. And that was the real world then for them. There's hardly any people of color in this, except when they go to Africa, right. which is part of Ghana, I think is one of the territories or the part of the British nation. I don't know how there's a lot of stuff in that show that there's been controversy about whether it's accurate or not yeah, historically.
The historiography for the later period has been dinged a lot more than the earlier period.
Right. The Churchill stuff with John Lithgow, I think is really good. He does the Churchill, I think pretty well.
And John Lithgow, for me, he can do just about anything. He
yeah.
just can.
Yeah. And I'm surprised because he's not a Brit, right? Mm-hmm. And he was very good. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what this was really all about. And the first thing I thought of was it's going to be the soap opera from that era yeah. forward. And it's going to be Downton Abbey. So I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And this year, with all the talk about it, okay, I'll dig in. And there's some slowness to it. It gets a little bit much in some. It's interesting seeing how the royals were and how Queen Elizabeth comes to be the queen.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot of time on the abdicated king. I can't remember his name, which is interesting.
Edward? Is he Edward?
Prince Edward. I think that's interesting. We don't hear a lot. We hear about Princess Di. We hear about Charles. We hear about, you know, the Queen. So it's kind of fun historically.
Did you like young Queen Elizabeth or older Queen Elizabeth?
I actually, Olivia Colman as the
because older, they said both women are tremendous playing Queen Elizabeth.
They are.
Yeah.
So, and I don't recall the name of the actress who plays the other one.
Claire Foy.
Yes.
Claire Foy.
Yeah. She's very good. I watched
the
first four.
They said they're both tremendous.
Really good. Now, Olivia Colman is just great. I mean, she everything I've ever seen her in has just been great. Broadchurch, three or four seasons of Broadchurch with David Tennant. She was great in that. Her sister in the later
Princess Margaret, the one that plays Princess Margaret,
yeah. which is Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah. Which is Helena Bonham Carter is kind of a train wreck with the crazy hair and everything. And that was kind of her sister. She was a bit of a train wreck. She
totally.
Was she was the tabloids before tabloids were really something.
Yes,
she was a Kardashian before Kardashians.
And I didn't know a lot of that stuff. Yeah. And so it was really interesting to hear. And of course, you know, you want to go and kind of find out if this is legit. You go back to, you know, wherever, Wikipedia or wherever to find what the whole story was on some of these things, on these little stories. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's more interesting than I expected it to be. So I was pleasantly surprised.
My mother was named after her.
Really? That's funny.
She's named Margaret Rose after Princess Margaret Rose.
Oh, that's
and
great.
They're like, wow, not the same lifestyle. Nope.
Oh, wow. So any other last thoughts, guys, before we wrap up shop tonight?
No, I think the year's off to a good start with watching all that Cobra Kai. And now, so many shows have dropped all their episodes to start the year, but I think the binge watching is going to be just something rampant through the house. We'll just be binging for weeks now.
So I've actually gone back and done a couple of rewatches. I rewatched Lasso while I was working. Yeah. Don't tell my boss. I just kind of sat there. I had the iPad on. I just put my headphones in, did a little work, and just listened to the show. You don't have to pay attention all the way. And I just, you know, laughed and enjoyed the whole thing. And I remember I picked Normal People as my number one show for 2020. So I felt like I had to go back and just make sure that I wasn't, like, you know, overinflating it.
Yeah,
and I
was abusive. Yeah.
But it's really good. And it's really good the second time around. So
our episode with Brittany Curran and Greg Swartz, talking TV and talking the Water of Life movie, was really good because I got to hear some things that I hadn't seen that were kind of in my radar. And one of them is What We Do in the Shadows. So I definitely want to go back to that. And one thing that Greg mentioned, which actually I just binged last week, season 9 of Letterkenny.
Yeah, that's on my list to go and watch now.
And he threw that out there. Yeah. It's the season 9 is a little bit uneven, but it's the Letterkenny folks, and it's kind of wacky, and it's hockey, and it's First Nations, and it's a small town living, and it's really funny. So highly recommend, if you want to get into on binge mode, go to Letterkenny and start from the beginning.
Yeah, Mike, don't watch that with the kids. Buy yourself an iPad.
Yeah, that's
that's the issue, is that, you know, I got to wait till they're asleep, and then I can start binging stuff.
Yeah.
Use your laptop. You got headphones.
I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing over there? You're not part of the conversation.
You just got to say nothing to see here.
What's so important that you're not paying attention to me?
You know, I wonder how much we're going to see a slowdown of new stuff because of COVID.
I think it's going to hit pretty soon.
It's got to come soon.
Remember when we talked to Greg and Brittany, we talked about Succession, and we all thought it was a 2020 show.
Right.
And it's like, no, that was 2019, and we're already going to 2021. And I know they're in production, but they're not back yet.
No.
I think from a TV point of view, there's a lot of stuff that's just not going to be out because of social distancing and everything else. They had to figure out how they could get the right to go work. But the movies, they're shot so far in advance.
Some are, yeah.
And they didn't release that many over the course of the first, you know, 9 months of last year. I think there might be like a deluge of movies that are released now. Well, because they're trying to get some kind of income from somebody, either, you know, through HBO Max or out on Netflix or where they dropped the movie. Well, there might be a lot more movies coming out.
Which studio was just going to release like all their big stuff coming to? Was it HBO Max?
They have an agreement with Warner, don't they?
It's Warner Brothers, right? So everything's going to go right to HBO Max.
But I think there were a lot of movies that were sitting in just waiting for a date, and it just kept. It's March. It's June. It's September. It's okay. We're just going to dump the movie because it's got to get out. We got to get something out for it.
I know. The Bond movie was scheduled for November, wasn't it? And then it got delayed.
Yeah.
You know, that Wonder Woman 1984 that we talked about, they equated its release. It made $16 or $17 million in its week. And they said that is mathematically equivalent to a $100 million box office opening. Like, for them, that was like, wow, that's huge. It's a huge release for us.
Hmm.
Where you're like, okay, expectations got to be adjusted based on how you're going to get your revenue. But you can't keep all these movies in the can without starting releasing something.
Yeah. Hollywood's got a tough row in the next, you know, like everybody else does in the next year or so with COVID. Well, on that happy note, let's maybe wrap this baby up. Episode 6? 7?
Episode 6.
The Wonder Woman 1984 episode, which we've had mixed feelings on that one.
Kind of a mixed bag.
But we liked Milk and Honey Whiskey.
The Milk and Honey
we
Whiskey.
We really liked the Milk and Honey Whiskey.
And we want to thank again.
They were very good.
Our friends at Impex Beverages for the samples as well. So, boys, should we wrap this baby up? Put a little tie on it? The first one of 2021?
Well done.
All right.
Cheers. Ange,
do it.
All right. So you can find us on, once again, we're going to be in HBO Max. Coming soon. Yes, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Audible. And Audible. And of course, the website, boozedancing.com. And we would love to hear from you. So if you have questions or topics you'd like us to discuss or shows we should watch or whiskey we should drink, by all means, shoot us an email at boozedancing@gmail.com. So thanks, boys. Let's not forget, you know, if what's that? What was that? Who's the Israeli model? What's her name again?
R. Raphael.
You want to come on episode 7? And Gal Gadot, we can continue this Israel connection.
Yes, we'd be happy to bring them on and just chat movies with the ladies.
Absolutely, absolutely. So cheers, boys. And
cheers. Just, Happy New Year. Shabbat Shalom. And
we're done.
We are done. We're out.